Hey, good morning. Hey. Nice to see you, Jules' friend. Can't remember your name. I'm sorry.
Liz.
Liz, yes.
Okay,
that's great to have you this morning. But glad everybody got the memo. I tried to get the word out to everybody as I could what we're doing today. This will be a kind of where we're at right now. I'm really looking at hard and close, trying to do what's right, and it's going to be a kind of week to week thing. As long as we can keep moving forward, I would like to for sure. And appreciate y'all coming out. We're doing all we can, as you can see, to try to. I know Tammy come in like, man, out of seats. And, you know, I'm just trying to be smart and do what they're, you know, wanting us to do. You see my sign on the door, I hope. Except for Nick, yeah. As soon as I went by Nick, Nick goes, hey. I said, come here, read the sign. You didn't read the sign? It says, we strongly suggest no physical contact. Big waves and smiles for now. So yeah, I know, but, you know, I'm just, it's a disclaimer for me. So anyway, but we're glad you're here this morning. We're going to have 11 o'clock service as well. We'll see how that works. We're just trying to, we do want to obey what the right thing is. And so we're, and just so everybody knows exactly what's going on, the actual law from the governor in the books right now is no more than 100 people in a single room. It's not 50, it's not 10. The law is 100. The recommendations are 50 and 10 and all that stuff. So we have 58 seats in here right now, well with under the 100, even close to the 50. And if we have a service where we have more than we need, we have a fellowship hall. We'll send folks out there that can sit around and be able to watch our service on the monitor out there and still be here on location if that's what you want. How long we can do this, I don't know. I like to keep going as long as we can and it be the right thing to do. And so thanks for bearing with me during this time. Of course, our older folks, a lot of you older folks are still here, and we appreciate that. And a lot of them are staying home, and I understand that as well. And in fact, Matt texts me this morning and says, hey, Mom wants to know, you know, Von Seal, we're having church. I said, we are, but I suggest she stay home today. Not many times pastors say that, but just trying to look out for everybody, because we do love you guys. We love you very much. At the same time, we are the church, and I think it's important as long as we can, we keep moving forward if we can. So thanks for being here today. We appreciate it. Yes, Mother? Yeah. Our prime timers will be canceled until further notice, because all of that pretty much is, you know, older folks. Well, did I say that out loud? Well, we don't have many 55-year-olds come. It's mostly, you know, 65 and over, 70 and over. So, but we are going to cancel the prime timers, the once-a-month meeting for now. And we've canceled the adult Sunday school class, Bill's class, for right now. Things will get back to normal, church. I think it's important that we stay steady during this time, that we can stay as normal as possible until it gets normal again. And I understand people not coming and are nervous. Here's one thing during this time. This is one thing that's really hard for me, but it's something I will not do because I understand what's going on. I will not be calling folks that's not coming like I normally do. Hey, I miss you. Where you at? Oh, I don't know. Where you think I'm at? So I'm not going to be calling nobody. I understand, but I appreciate that. I do want to get this out of the way and announce this before we get started. We are, of course, still have expenses, the church, no matter, you know, what happens. We have a fellowship hall payment we're still making. If you're not able to get here or decide at some point I don't want to come out anymore, just whatever the reason is, we can still support us a couple of ways. You can go to our website and support us through PayPal. That's a secure way to give. We have several people that actually give that way now. But you can go to our website, livingwordministriesnc.org, give that way. Or you can send a check to our secure P.O. box, and we can get you that address. Or if you just Google Living Word Ministries, it has all the information on there of our address. And you can still send money that way. So we're going to trust God through this time that he keeps supplying for this church and meeting our needs. And I believe he will. So as you can see, we have the offering plates up here today. We're not going to pass the plate around to reduce everybody touching the plates. So at the end of service, we'll just ask you to come present your offering and put it in the plate yourself. That way that avoids one more thing of passing everything around. So thank you for your understanding. We will be live book facing our 11 o'clock service, not this one, so y'all can act be yourselves on this service. The 11 o'clock, will have to, if anybody shows up at 11, they'll have to straighten up. I just play it. But I'm glad, Don, you came to this one. I just play it. Oh, you can? I mean, whatever. That's fine. But anyway, we'll be Facebook Live in that one for people. And some people did see our Wednesday night service Facebook Live. Brenda Cook watched it. Doc Lee watched it. Gail Moore in Georgia watched it and texted me about it. So people are watching that. And that's a great way to get the word out and keep everybody connected. So anyway, we're excited. Jules will open up with a song. We'll go open up a prayer first. She's going to do a song, and then we'll have our worship team do a couple songs. And we'll get into our message today, which is, oh, it was up there, which is the great I am and how we serve the great I am. And the great I am is not us, just so you know. And we're excited about sharing that message. So anyway, let's open up in prayer. Father, as we come into your presence this day, this is something new for us, and we're in a very uncertain time, but we know for certain who is Lord, and that is you. Yes. And God, we give this service to you as always, both services, and we ask for your presence and your anointing to be in this place, that we feel you, God, and that we experience you today in a world that is very afraid. Lord, we don't need to fear, because whom shall we fear? If you are for us, what or who can be against us? Nothing can stand, God, against you, and we thank you for that. Bless all that's done today, that you get the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Jewel.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just from day to day, I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know
think that one of the best things that we could do out of this, in this time, is reach our elders. I'm very, very, very blessed and thankful that I still have my grandma, and I still have my other grandma up in Ohio, the kid's grandma, and she's so fun. I called her yesterday, and I said, well, how's things up in Cincinnati? She said, oh, they're all crazy. She said, but we know who's in charge. We know the Lord. She said, but I will tell you what I've been doing. She said, before I leave the house, I've been anointing myself with oil. I said, I know that's right. And she said, well, you know, she said, they don't want us touching. She said, I just anoint myself.
Hey, singers, come on up. All the singers, come on up. Get the PowerPoint ready. I test them all this morning. I said, we're fine. I test them all right before she comes up.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Many churches today cannot assemble. They're not assembling. We are here today. We had this opportunity to be together as God's body. But you know why? Because our God is greater. And there is no name above the name of sickness or disease or plague or fear. There is no name greater than that. So let's sing it to Him again. How great is our God.
Yes. Hallelujah. How great.
Thank you. Great is our God. He's your God.
Yes,
isn't that amazing? He's my God.
Hallelujah.
I say this all the time. I'm glad He's Gordon's God, but I'm gladder He's my God.
Yes,
He's my God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated. Thank you, singers.
You,
appreciate
Jesus.
You being here today to lead our worship. Mr. Randy, you got one? Got two? Okay. Yes. Got one, two. All right. If our couple of youngsters want to be dismissed with Mr. Randy, he'll take you back and teach you something good about the Lord today. You can go on back today if you want to. We're in exceptional times. Do what? Oh, good. She said everybody sounded good. Let's hope the 11 o'clock crowd sounds good, right? Melanie, I think I left. No, I brought my Bible in here. Oh. Thank you, Brandon. Joshua chapter 1 this morning. We're going to be in Joshua 1. Talking about the great I am. Aren't you glad that you serve the great I am? You know, there's a lot of teaching on, or some teaching on the great I am. And of course, you know, when Moses went to the burning bush and God told him to go lead the children out, he said, who do I go tell the children sent me? Who do I go tell them? He says, tell them I am sent you. Now, that don't make a lot of sense to us, does it? I mean, if you're a lot of restaurants ask your name for order, right? You go here for Arby's and they'll say, what's your name for your order? I think next time I'm going to say, I am. Just see what they say. Name for the order, I am. You am who? I am. I mean, that makes no sense, doesn't it? I am. But the Lord immediately revealed something to me on this, and it's no mystery to any of you either, but the I am pretty much includes all things, doesn't it? I am what you need me to be. I am your protector. I am your provider. I am your healer. I am your counselor. I am your comforter. I am your redeemer. I am your savior. I am whatever you need me to be. Hey, Ralph, you want to pull that chair to the center and sit down, brother? That's fine. Okay, I don't want you to stand there. Our security is best. The I am phrase really does include anything. Now, we have some people like that, right? Oh, I can do anything. I can build a house, work on a car, plumb a commode, wire an outlet. And we got those folks that can do it all. And then we find out when we really get to know them, they can't really do hardly none of it. You know, there's an old saying, right? I'm a jack of all trades and master of none. The good news is our God's not a jack of all trades. He's a master of all. He's a master of all. Here's a story in Joshua 1 we're going to get into, beginning with verse 1. And let me set up what's happening. God originally called Moses, as you know, to lead the people of Israel out of captivity, out of slavery. He called Moses. They went through a long journey. Man, Moses had a hard time with those people, 2 million plus people, all their possessions and livestock. It was a hard journey. A journey that should have took about 3 weeks, ended up taking 40 years. And sometimes that's our life, right? Like, man, if I could have 40 years ago known this, I'd have done it in 3 weeks. But that's how life is. And God was showing them something on this journey. He called Moses, says, you're going to be the one to lead them out. And he did. Moses led them out. But we come to a point where Moses died before he got them into the promised land. What happens next? Moses is dead. The one God called to lead is now dead. Did the plan stop? No. Does the purpose stop? No. Does what he said stop? No. Understand, God used Moses for a season, but God had a plan, another plan, to carry it from that season to the next season. Because things are failing doesn't mean God is failing. Because things look the way they do doesn't mean God is not working. Because situations change doesn't mean things aren't still going to work out the way God planned it. God had a plan in Joshua chapter 1. Look at what it says in verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, the plan is scratched. That's how we feel sometimes, right? Well, God didn't work out, so I guess it wasn't you in it at all. God is in it. God had a plan. Did you know God knew Moses wouldn't make it if we ever called him? That's the beauty of God. God knew the day at the burning bush when he said, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground, stand before Pharaoh, declare them to be free. He knew in that moment, in that very moment, that Moses would not take them across the Jordan, but he would lead them to the brink of it. That was God's plan. That was God's purpose. But the plan would still be fulfilled because God had it all figured out. He says, your servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go across this Jordan and all this people unto the Lord, which I, say I. The next few verses I underline where it says I. There's about 9 or 10 times it mentions the word I talking about God. The land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. God's going to give it to them. It's me that's going to give it to you. So if I'm going to give you something, I'm going to make sure I can take care of you to get it to you. Because I'm in control of it. It's not what you've done, Moses. Not what you've done, Joshua. It's not what any of the ministers or priests done. It's what God was doing. God's the one that heard their cries and says, I'm going to send you a deliverer. It is God that sent all the plagues against Pharaoh and kept them away from the children of Israel. It was God who finally broke Pharaoh to say, go and be released. It was God who positioned them with the Red Sea on one side and the army on the other. It wasn't like, God, what have you done? God was doing that to further show his glory of who he was. The Red Sea can't stop my plan. Pharaoh's army can't stop my plan. All the gates of hell can't stop my plan. I've got a plan. It shall be fulfilled. And it's exactly what was happening. Just because Moses was dead, because your plan has died, doesn't mean God's plan has died. Because your plan's been buried, doesn't mean God doesn't have a resurrection plan coming out of the ground, waiting on you. Trust that. So here's Joshua, and I bet he got a big lump in his throat when God says, okay, next man up. What? You know? I always use the Scooby-Doo voice I love, you know? You know, when he does a little, you know, the little gulp and like, right? So, you know, who did that? That was good, whoever did that. Was that you, Gordon? Oh, you got a hidden talent. Take you on the road, brother. Raggy. All right. He says, I will give you them, even the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that who I have given to you, as I said unto Moses. I'm going to fulfill what I told you was going to happen. Don't worry that Moses died. Don't worry the leader is gone. My plan will go on beyond the leader because my plan is greater than man. I don't need just Moses to carry out my plan. I can use anybody to carry out my plan, whatever that is, whoever that is, at my discretion, at my choice. So be of good courage and be joyful because we're still going to get the land. I'm going to give you the land. I told you I would because the land is not based on the life of Moses. It's based on my word. Verse 4, he tells them what land he'll give them. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land, the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Then he equips them here with great courage, with great encouragement. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. All the days. No matter what those days bring, what those seasons look like. We got good days, we got bad days, but God's the God of all of our days. And that's what's beautiful. God knows what's going on. This 2020 crisis didn't catch God off guard. He didn't mess up. He wasn't asleep on the job. He knows exactly what's happening. And we are his people. We are covered, as Angela said Wednesday night, the blood of Jesus upon our hearts. The door of our hearts is sealed by his covenant, by his promises, by his Holy Spirit. I'm still the temple of the Holy Ghost. No matter what plagues around me, the Holy Spirit's in me. I'm still the walking, breathing tabernacle of the Most High God wherever my feet tread. Hallelujah. That's who I am because that's who he is. And that's who lives inside of me. And he encourages them saying, all your days there shall not any man stand against you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Don't worry. I'm the same God for you that I was for Moses. I'm the same God in this time that I was the other time. The same God that called you out of Egypt. The same God that kept the death angel away. The same God that gave you water out of a rock. The same God that kept shoes on your feet. The same God that kept manna coming every day. I'm the same God in this season. I was that season. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to fail you either. As I was with Moses, I shall be with you. Because I am the same yesterday and today and tomorrow and forevermore. And I am God and I change not. And nothing that comes against this world alters who I am. I still have it in the palm of my hands. I'm still breathing life upon the globe of this creation. I'm still commanding the tides to roll in. And no disease cancels out the authoritative word of who I am. I am God and there is no other. Hallelujah. That's who we're serving. That's the great I am. Glory to God. It says, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I went and underlined every I in this chapter. I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. God's not left us during this time. For all of those who, you know, for all those naysayers and the ones that are negative, you know, where's God at right now? Where's God at? Everything's shutting down, losing my job, all this stuff. Where's God now? God is where he's always been, on the throne, controlling everything happening. And God's going to take care of his people, church. He's going to take care. The verse in Philippians, the last couple of weeks, have really been coming to my mind, verse 4:19. I will supply all of your needs. My God shall supply all of your needs according to my, once again, that I word, right? His riches in glory. Our job is not our source. It's our God who is our source. And God can make a way in a famine. God can make a way in a drought. God can make a way when there's no food to be found. Somehow you're fed. Somehow you're provided for. Somehow you're taken care of, because I believe in God that much, man. I mean, he knows who I am. I was born on purpose and for a purpose and with a purpose. And he's going to take care of me, and he's going to take care of you. Sometimes we have to shut out all the voices of the negativity and say, God, speak to me what you want me to hear, not what they want me to hear. Speak what you want me to hear, because that's what I need right now. And that's what gives us our strength. Our God, Philippians 4:19 is a good verse for all of us during these next trying times, to know God will supply our needs. And once again, Moses, man, he was, you know, he's one of my favorite Bible people. I love David and I love Moses, because Moses had a tremendous task. Remember Moses? I love Moses because Moses was a murderer. You remember that? He was a murderer. He cold cocked a guy and buried him. You know, just buried him in the sand and walked away, hoping nobody saw it. And he ran. And he was a fugitive from the law. He was a felon in today's world, right? And who did God call? He called a stuttering, because he said the Bible talks about he wasn't a very good speaker. He had a stuttering problem. He called a stuttering murderer. Okay, Lord, you really know what you're doing? I'm sure Moses felt that way. God, you know, I kind of like killed somebody back there, and I can't really go back. I probably got wanted posters, you know, wanted dead or alive, 500 shekels. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know. And I can't talk real good, God. You want me to go to the highest authority in the land and stand before his throne and speak when I don't have the best vocational ability? Vocational, that's not the right word. Vocabulary or ability. Vocabulary. I can't speak real good. And you really want me to go in front of Pharaoh? Are you serious? You're the one, Moses. You are the one. And Moses obeyed God and faced that tyrant 10 times and told him to his face, let my people go or else. And he didn't listen. And he went back again, let my people go. You ever wonder why Pharaoh didn't just throw his hind in jail? You know, after the second or third time of him, look, he could have done what he wanted to. Get rid of him. I don't want my presence. He's over here prophesying all this doom and telling me the king. I mean, think about that. We can't get 500 yards in the White House without getting picked up by a helicopter and shot down. Be drones all up on you. Here is Moses telling the highest person in the land, let him go. Or else. Really? But yet he kept going back. Why was he allowed to keep going back? It was part of God's plan. It was part of God's plan. So every time he went, God was in that meeting face to face. He was in that moment. And here's Moses. And finally, the 10th time he told him to go. And Moses, they're all rejoicing. They're all celebrating. Like the song, Blessed Be Your Name, right? When all the world is right. And they was right. They were finally, after 400 plus years of slavery and bondage, have now been set free, and they're able to go where they want, when they want, how they want. And not only that, they're able to take the possessions of their oppressors with them. And they're marching out with all of these horses and animals and gold and pots and vases and all the stuff, and they're celebrating and they're singing to God, and everything is wonderful until the first crisis hits. And they fold like a taco. Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? And then they start immediately grumbling, right? You brought us out here, Moses, to die in the wilderness. Then they want to say something so stupid as this. I wish we just stayed in Egypt and died back there. You'd rather die as a slave, or you'd rather live in freedom and die at least in freedom? Think about that. And here they are complaining and they are grumbling. And Moses says something. He says, stand still and see the salvation of who? The Lord. Not me. See the salvation of the Lord. And he raised that staff he had, and God did something supernatural. God made a way where there seemeth to be no way. God did the impossible and parted the waters. And they say, if you read, do some studying, that it was created by a high wind that came across the land. And the wind was such a way that it split the waters apart. And they crossed right over the middle of where the problem was. We're in a problem right now in this nation. We're in a problem. We're at a Red Sea where it seems like we are surrounded by all that's wrong. But in the middle of this wrongness, we are going to see the hand of God blow the waters again and part the sea. And God's people are going to go marching in and marching across, declaring the goodness and how great is our God. From age to age, time is in his hands, and so are we. And he will not fail us. He will not forsake us. He will not leave us. So God is right where we left him. He's still Lord of all. He's still creator of all, and he's still on the throne. And that's all I need to know. God, you're in control. I'm good. That's all I need to know. The day you're not in control, God, I worry. As long as you're in control, I'm good. And we know that day will never come where he's not in control. He is Lord of all. So Moses is gone. Joshua's got the new commission. He tells Joshua, he says, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you, okay? I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to forsake you. Then he says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide an inheritance, the land which I, again, the word I, swear, which I sweared, which I promised unto their fathers to give them. I'm going to complete what I started. I'm going to finish what I begun. This storm of this battle, this issue, this problem of your leader dying doesn't stop my plan from going forward. The Red Sea didn't stop it. All the murmuring didn't stop it. All the crying didn't stop it. All the enemies didn't stop it. No man stopped it. They kept going forward on and on and on. And we know the story. They eventually got there and they eventually inhabited and they eventually did get the land God promised them. But in the meantime, they got to get there. And the journey is what's hard. You know, when we first start out, we're pretty strong. It's like the gym, right? Gym memberships are great in January. Everybody signs up. Everybody's working out 5 times a day in January. Yeah, 5 times a day, not a week, a day. I mean, they're pumped, man. It's January. I'm going to lose 40 pounds. I'm motivated. It's a brand new year. Hallelujah. And we're pumping iron. We're eating everything right, bananas and watermelon and cantaloupe and no carbs and no sugar and no nothing, you know. And we're great till about February 17th. And we're about 6 weeks into the year, and all of a sudden we start slacking and going, you know, one time, two time, then pretty much. And see, gyms know that, man. They love it. They get your membership in January, and you're paying all year long and half going half of the year. And they know that because that's how we are. We're motivated at the beginning, and we like to be at the end, but it's the process we don't like. It's getting there we don't like. I like the idea of mowing my yard, you know. Boy, I'll get to my mower. I enjoy it, and I get mowing a little bit, and I'm like, man, I still got 3 hours to go. Oh, my gosh. So I like the beginning, and I like when it's finished. I'm sitting on my porch, and I'm like, oh, smell that fresh grass. Look how good it looks and green. And my wife comes out and says, oh, honey, the yard looks so good. You did such a good job. And I know it's just a simple little thing she tells me, but for us shallow men, it makes us feel like we're 9-foot giants. Yeah, I conquered the world. I mowed that grass, and it didn't tell me no. We like that, but it's the process we don't like. All the middle part that's hard. Starting is great, and the end is great, but the middle is hard. When they left Israel, things are great. When they got to the promised land, things are great, but it's the middle that's hard. And right now, we are at a crossroads in our country where we're in the middle to where our world changed about 3 weeks ago. It changed, and we are now in that crossing of the Red Sea of what do we do? Do we stay here? Do we keep moving forward? Do we retract back? Do we go to the left? Do we go to the right? Where do I shop? Where do I go? Do I stay home? Do I go out? Do I go to work? Do I not go to work? Am I going to lose my... All this stuff that we are now in the middle of. And I want to encourage you, the same God that was with you 3 weeks ago before our world changed is the same God today as our world has changed. He is the same, and I trust that. That's what I trust. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. Now we understand we're not under the old covenant law anymore. We're under grace. We all know that. But it is important. What we can take from this verse is I'm still going to honor God in all that I do. I'm going to serve, trust, worship, honor God even through the storm. I'm going to praise Him when I don't feel like praising Him. I'm going to pray when I don't feel like praying. I'm going to give and serve when I don't feel like giving and serving. I'm going to stay steady the course and follow His word, because He's still my God. No matter what I wake up to tomorrow, He's still my God. And that's what we have to trust. And He tells them, be strong, be courageous, keep moving forward. And we need to hear that today, that we've got to keep moving forward. I know there's a lot of fear in people. I mean, there's a lot of fear. It's a guy I ran into the day that was so afraid, and he's completely just secluding himself. He's totally just completely panicked and afraid. And I know we have to use good wisdom. I understand that. That's why the church, we've done what we can do to try to keep things as best we can. I understand that, and I respect that. There's a difference in that and living in complete fear. There's a big difference. Fear comes from who? The devil. Faith comes from God. Fear, God doesn't make us fear. The spirit of fear is not from God. The spirit of fear is from the enemy. God gives us strength and power. And fear, I know, is real, and fear can hit like that. We've all had moments that we were very afraid, moments that, you know, very afraid. And then we remember who's in control. I'm sure the people of Israel probably questioned, okay, Moses dead. You say Joshua can, and they knew Joshua. He was Moses' right-hand man. But still they probably questioned, okay, now Joshua's in charge. Can he do the job? Is he able to get us across? Is it really still going to work out? Because, you know, Moses was our man. Now we got Joshua. And, of course, Joshua did get him across. And Joshua was very much used by God. It says, verse 8, we'll close out with verse 9. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night. Remember what the Bible says over in the New Testament? It says, whatever things are good, honest, pure, lovely, of good report, think on those things. It's important right now, and I know we got to keep what's going on in our world to a degree, but I've got to where I check the news about one time a day is all I do. I'll check in one time a day to see the latest kind of what's happening, and I turn it off. You know, that's all I do. I'm not going to sit there and be consumed and glued to it all day long, hearing every single story of every single person. My God, you'll go crazy, man. You will go up insane in this place if you listen to everything going on. All the rumors going on, going to shut down everything, going to shut down food stuff. I mean, the other day there was a rumor about they're going to shut down all of Statesville and you couldn't go nowhere. They're going to put you in your house for 2 weeks. I mean, look, whatever happens, God's still in control, okay? Whatever happens. And no matter if they do get a point, and I don't think it will, if they completely lock us down, somehow the bread will pop into our pantry. Somehow the cucumbers, when you haven't planted them, Jewel, you got in the garden. I didn't plant no cucumbers. God says, but I did. Thank you, Lord. And all of a sudden you're picking cucumbers. Whatever. God can do what He wants. He's God. He is God. And we can't let the fear dictate our lives and how we live if we trust the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalms 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Man's not my shepherd. The government's not my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is the one that leads me beside the still waters. He's the one that restoreth my soul. He is the one that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For God, you are with me. You are my rod and my staff, and you comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. No matter what those all days look like, He's going to follow me. So I trust the shepherd, Psalm in 23. And David was a man that definitely knew the shepherd very well. Verse 9, we'll close out with this. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Understand what they had in front of them, the battle they had in front of them. They had a big journey. God wasn't just going to let them walk in. They had to fight. They had to press forward. They had to defeat their enemies. There was war in their future, just like we are right now. That's why we have to press forward through all the stuff in front of us right now. They had to fight nation after nation, tribe after tribe, people after people to get the promise of God fulfilled. So He's letting them know, don't be afraid of what's coming, because stuff is coming. You're going to be attacked. You're going to have to face the enemy, but don't be afraid. I'm greater than the enemy. I'm bigger than the attack. I'm stronger than what's coming against you. No man will be able to stand against you. Trust me. So be of good courage. God is trying to equip them to face what they've got to face. It says, neither be thou dismayed, For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. When you're standing in the food line getting your milk and bread, and if you can find toilet tissue, praise God, that's a miracle. And you're standing there, just remember, God's with you in that line. God is with you in that line. No matter where, you know, you got to get gas, you're touching a gas pump, I understand. Look, remember, God is with you. Rodney had a post on Facebook I thought was really good yesterday. I liked it when he said that, you know, what if Jesus was scared of sickness and disease? What if he'd been scared of sickness and disease? And what Rodney was trying to say, and I got it. I'm like, I know we got to use wisdom. I'm like, you know, this is the very time that we got to believe that God is greater. Greater is he that's in me than that which is in the world. So I trust that. Jesus called out sickness and disease. Jesus rebuked sickness and disease. Jesus healed the lepers. Jesus healed the crippled. Jesus healed those with blood disorders. Jesus healed those unclean people that were. Remember the woman, the woman with the issue of blood, of course. She was pretty much quarantined to her home because of her condition. She wasn't allowed in town. She was considered unclean. She broke. And I'm not saying we're lawbreakers. Don't know how to take that wrong. We're not feminist ones, so we're good. It's just between us. But I'm saying this. If she had abided by the custom of the government law, she wouldn't have got her healing. Think about that a minute. She came out of her home. She took a chance of going to where Jesus was, going through the crowd, crawling in her weakened condition. 12 years she suffered and no doctor could heal her. And she heard Jesus was coming to town. In her unclean condition, in her quarantined state, she says, if I can just touch his garment. And she stretched her faith out to get to Jesus. And as soon as she touched Jesus, she was made whole. So for all of the people saying this and that, and there's no right or wrong to this. Everybody's making their decision. And let's say, I don't know what my decision will be. Too much, who knows, 2 weeks from now, who knows. I'm going now to now to now as God gives me direction. But I do want to say this. That woman did get her healing by getting out of her place. Also, the Pool of Bethesda. Remember all those sick people out there outside in a public gathering, in a public place? They were outside this temple where all these hundreds of people a day walked by. Jesus walked by and said, you know, why haven't you got, you know, whatever. And I went in the stern of the waters because the angel would stir the waters. Whoever got in first would be healed. And this crippled man had been crippled his whole life, 39 years or something, been crippled his whole life, laying there begging of money. And God said, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And immediately he was healed. He was cured. He was where Jesus was. So there's some great points in the Word also that point us to that. You know, church, I said this, and I want to be responsible. I'm going to continue to be responsible as this goes on. I'm going to continue week by week to do the right thing as much as I can and be responsible for people. But I anointed those church doors 2 weeks ago, every entry point with oil, as Jules said her granny did. I anointed the church doors and prayed that God would protect this place and all that came in this place. And that anointing was for the duration of how long we are here. And I want you to know that. We are doing the right things. As soon as y'all leave this service, I've got Jeannie and Barbara going to go with Lysol cans and spray all these chairs down for the next service. Okay? We're doing it's the right thing to do that way. But we're trying to have a balance of still having a place open for y'all to come worship. I think that's important. Especially in this time. Especially in this time. So thank you for your support. And be encouraged by this word that Moses died. The plan seemed to change in the eyes of the children of Israel, but the plan didn't change in the eyes of God. God knew what he was doing. And the plan went forward. And they did cross over, and they did get what God told them. Keep looking forward, keep moving forward, and keep trusting God in all of this. Hallelujah. Yes. Right. Definitely. And see, even for me as a preacher, they closed down nursing homes, hospitals. I do want to say this. Mr. Williams has took a turn for the worst, he's now in hospice care. He's still at Our Memorial Hospital at Skilled Nursing, Floor 1, Clarice Williams. They moved him to Floor 1. He's a part of our church. He hadn't been able to come for the last 3 years because of health problems. That's Charles' grandpa. he's don't probably have too long left to go. And the chaplain there has been very great at Iredell. She's approved me. I've been able to go see him 3 times this week at the hospital. And she told me, said, go see him and go see him only. Can't visit no one else. So when I leave, every time I text her, said, chaplain, I went to see him. Thank you. I didn't go see anybody else. I promise. You know, thank you. But keep his family and him in prayers. He's ready to see the Lord. He's done told me. I had some one-on-one goodbye time with him the other day, me and him in a room, and told him how I felt about him. And he's ready to go see the Lord. He's been suffering for a long time. And but just keep him and your family in your prayers. But saying all that, you know, nursing homes can't have visitors right now. A lot of the hospitals can't have visitors right now. So it's even more lonely already for them. So we are in a different place and a different time right now. But I love the verses, you know, I part of the Red Sea, just follow me. Just keep following God through this. Trust him. Don't let fear become your guiding light. Let him be your guiding light. Let's stand together. I want to, Marge, if you can play this a little something. We want to, I want to say a prayer, and I want to pray over our congregation. I want to pray over our nation this morning as we are facing something we've never faced before in our generation. Fathers, we stand in your presence right now. We are thankful that we can be here in your presence. We are thankful these doors are open right now, God, that we can still come and worship you. God, we pray over our nation right now as this virus has inflated this nation. God, you are stronger than the virus. You are greater than the power of this sickness. And God, I pray for a sealing of our people. I pray for a sealing of this nation. I pray that people will look to you for their help and their hope right now, God, and their hearts will be turned to the great I am. In the name of Jesus, God, let this dark plague be lifted off our nation. Let there be a reversal. Let there be a breaking of its power. Let there be a release of it, God, to where the news reports even have to say that it is getting better, that all is better than it was. In the name of Jesus, God, you can turn this tide. No matter what the future reports say, you control the future, God. No matter what they say may happen, you can make it happen. And we thank you for that, God. And we give this nation, we give your people to you right now, Lord, that you watch us and keep us and protect us. And let fear not be our guiding light, but let faith empower us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray this over your people and over this country right now, that you are still Lord, and we trust you, and we believe you, and we thank you that you're on the throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated for a minute. We're going to receive our offering before we dismiss. And we've got folks, I hope we have a few folks that will come for our 11 o'clock service. If not, we are going to have singing for our 11 o'clock service, live singing, and it will be Facebook Live at 11. But if you're able to get to a point you aren't able to come or for whatever reason we just can't assemble anymore, for whatever reason that might be, I do want to encourage you to keep trying to support us if you can. I know jobs are tough. People have lost their jobs. If you're able to support us, you can go to our website. It gives you all the information how to continue to finance support this church through this time, so we can continue to have our expenses met here during this time. But so we've got the offering plates up here. We're not going to pass them around. It's one less contact. So after we pray, if you have an offering, just come lay it up here in the offering plate. Father, we thank you for this time together in this service and your word. We thank you, God, that you are going to meet the needs of your people and the needs of this local body. We know you're in control, God, and for every heart that is able to give, we thank you for it. We thank you for their faithfulness, God, that they are still committing to serve and to give during this troubling time. Bless this offering and bless this seed, God, and continue to use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all come give it this time.
Give it the highest praise. Glory is worthy to be lifted up. Give him the highest praise. Glory is worthy to be lifted up. Give him the highest praise. Glory is worthy to be lifted up. Give him the highest praise. Glory is worthy to be lifted up. Lift him 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 up. For he's worthy, worthy, worthy. Jesus is worthy to be lifted up. For he's worthy, worthy, worthy. Jesus is worthy to be lifted up.
Thank y'all for coming. Dude, thank you so much for coming. Y'all can stand. We'll close out in prayer. And just try to remember, respect each other's space as you leave. I know it's instinct to hug and grab each other and shake each other and all that kind of stuff. But just be mindful and respect everyone. And like I said, a big wave and a big smile. And I love you. And, yeah, Anna does the thing here. Yeah, I love you. So, I appreciate y'all being here. I know nobody will probably stay for the second service. Don't expect you to, but as long as we got seats, if you're in the mood for it, you can. But otherwise, God bless you all. We'll pray and get you out of here. God, we go our separate ways. We pray as the next week unfolds that you just guide us day by day. You protect us. You keep us. I pray that all of our church people's needs are met, God, financially, physically, and spiritually, and mentally, that their needs are met during these trying times. I pray for courage. I pray for joy. I pray for hope and I pray for strength as we go our separate ways. We love you, Lord, and we love this church family. And I thank you for them being here today with us to lift your holy name up. We give you praise and honor and glory for all. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.